Well, hello again. Boy, I'm always excited, but I'm really excited today. I've got a good friend, Pat Frank, a man for all seasons. One of the great things about this show, Local Matters, is we learn a lot about people in our community and region that we thought we knew. And I've been knowing Pat 15, 18, 20 years.
Yeah.
And I still can't wait to learn more about my friend Pat Frank. Pat, welcome.
Thank you, George. Glad to be here.
So I told you, I've got a tough job for anybody who knows me. I got to try to be quiet. This isn't about me. Yeah, it's about you.
That's one of the reasons I'm here, is to see that happen.
I don't know if it's going to happen or not. So what we're going to do is, it's the old Billy Graham thing, or the most religions of meaning and who am I and
yeah,
where am I from, where am I going, what means things to me and all that stuff. So I'm going to start. First question, let's start at birth.
Okay.
And let's go all the way through, and don't spend all day in high school, but let's just go on through and let's get you through growing up, your family, your friends, your passions, just anything you want to talk about. Pat Frank growing up.
Absolutely, George. Right. Well, thanks for having me, for one thing.
Yeah.
I was born in New Orleans, Louisiana, 1963.
Okay.
And raised in Pascagoula, Mississippi. I know somewhere that you're familiar with.
Yep, down south.
Being from Mississippi yourself.
Yep.
So was raised in Pascagoula, which is on the Gulf Coast between Mobile, Alabama, and Biloxi,
right,
Mississippi.
That's right.
And lived there till I was 10. Now, my father worked at the shipyard his entire career.
Pascagoula Shipyard, yeah.
Probably employed 11,000 people.
Oh, yeah. Huge.
He was director of nuclear submarines. As a matter of fact, he built the second nuclear submarine in the country.
Holy, I learned something already.
Admiral Rickover.
Rickover, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And so my dad got a job opportunity in 75 to be the vice president of Lockheed Manufacturing out in Seattle.
Wow.
So this is back when Lockheed was shipbuilding.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they built icebreakers. And so my dad took that job, and it was like the Beverly Hillbillies, man. We were going from Mississippi to Seattle, Washington. I didn't even know where Seattle, Washington was. Oh, yeah. I don't even know if I'd heard
of
it.
Not as far west as you can get.
As far as west as you can get. I mean, I saw real mountains, and it was crazy. And so I learned fairly quickly, being a new middle schooler, to drop the accent as fast as I could.
Yeah, oh, sure.
But fortunately, I was athletic enough that I overcame it. I was the quarterback of the football team. Ooh. I was on the, all those things. So yeah, it helped.
So, yeah.
It helped me.
You were a man. You were one of the men in sport.
Well, when you speak Mississippi,
in the
Northwest, you better have something else you can pull.
You better be ready.
That's right. But so anyway, that's how I got to Seattle. Love Seattle. I still love Seattle. Two of my best friends are from Seattle.
Oh, sure.
You've met Curtis.
I have.
Great friend of mine. And so stayed in Seattle through middle school, high school, my first 2 years of college. Went to college on a baseball scholarship. I was a pitcher.
Yeah. Left-handed or right-handed?
Right-handed.
Okay.
And wish I was left-handed. No, all right-handers wish they were left-handed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then in 1985, I moved back. So I graduated high school in 81, played 2 years of ball, moved back to New Orleans in actually Slidell, Louisiana.
Oh, sure, Slidell, yeah.
30 minutes from New Orleans.
Yeah.
Moved back there in 85, got married in 89,
okay,
came back, worked for my dad.
Sure.
I'm skipping ahead too fast. Came back, worked for my dad, who then had left Lockheed, come back to Textron Marine Systems as the vice president of manufacturing.
Yeah, okay.
And so I went and worked for my dad, met a young lady, got married, and we decided to move to Tennessee in 1989.
How about that?
Her parents, my in-laws at the time, had a little farmhouse in Gordonsville
sure,
with a spare house on the property, and they said, "Hey, come live rent free, and you can go finish your education."
So that's
and
how you got.
That's
to
how
Tennessee.
I got here.
Yeah,
went to Tennessee Tech. That was the whole thing, was to come here, go to Tech, finish
just
my degree.
Go, right, oh, sure, it's perfect.
Yeah, didn't work out that way, but that was the plan.
I understand. So let's tell that six. You want to tell that story
sure.
now? You want to. 6 degrees of separation.
So
tell this story because it's amazing.
This is how I met George Hallford. So I'm playing baseball in Seattle, and my coach was a scout for the Kansas City Royals, mm-hmm. my college coach at the time. Mm-hmm. And so the plan was I was going to be drafted by the Royals
mm-hmm.
Or go to a four-year
yeah, sure.
school.
Sure.
My brother, who had an in with the head coach at a small school in Hattiesburg, Mississippi called yeah. William Carey College.
William Carey, which is now William Carey University.
That's unbelievable. you just told me something I didn't know.
And Pete.
And so Pete is my brother, the best brother in the world. And so sight unseen, he sends all my press clippings and everything to – Coach Bobby Hallford.
My brother.
Your brother in Mississippi. And your brother gave me a full ride.
Sight unseen.
Sight unseen.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it didn't work out because my parents were still at the time in Seattle.
Sure.
They were upset with me going that far away.
And back.
My,
yeah, sure.
My mom wouldn't be able to see me play. And I she got, was a yeah. she came to every ball game, rest her soul. And
yeah, mine did too.
And so you know how that is growing
up. Oh, sure.
Up, right? So fast forward, I'm sitting here in 2008
yeah,
or 9,
I
somewhere
came
around
here in
04. There. Yeah. So it was about 08, 09. I'm at my boss's house.
Yeah, yeah.
And this lady comes walking through the house, and I hear her talking, and she says something about her brother being one of the winningest coaches in college baseball. And I was thinking, who is this lady? Because I don't know if she's telling the truth, because I know the winningest
coach in college baseball
at the time, and that was Coach Bobby Hallford. I said, who are you? She's like, who are you? It was your wife, Gloria, who
Gloria.
Was a wonderful
oh, yeah.
woman.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
So we started talking. It just so happens that my brother and your brother have been best friends since the 60s.
Late 60s. Yeah, 60s.
Roommates in college.
Played ball together.
Everything.
Oh, yeah.
And you and I had never met.
No. And
we had never met. This is 2006 in Little Cookeville, Tennessee.
Yeah. I mean,
and so George and I end up meeting. We end up becoming friends. We've known each other, like you said.
Yeah, live in the same neighborhood.
Live in the same neighborhood. Play golf every Saturday.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it just so happens our brothers were best friends forever still are.
They still are.
And your brother is still winning baseball games.
I'll put a little plug. I think he's now the winningest coach in Mississippi. Ron Polk might still be ahead of him in Mississippi State. But I think Bobby's won about 1,300. But he started there, went all the way through.
Right.
But the only downside of our relationship, my brother Bobby and I are doctors. I love him, but we're totally different, okay? So we're having a little get-togethers at my house and having a little libation and everything. Of course, you're taking a picture and sending it to Pete, and Pete's sending
right.
it to Bobby. So my whole family got to know my social life all the time. But what a great story, and good friend, and your brother, as you have been very successful. Isn't he in the Washington, D.C., Virginia?
My brother is retired.
Semi-retired
Stanton, Virginia.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah, up in the Shenandoah Valley, and he's done very well.
Comes down to see you. I hadn't seen him in a while. Been in my house. I mean, I'm telling my brother, Bobby, I said, I just can't believe this. But that's
right. Yeah. So it's
enough about that. We had to get that one in. So here you are. You're here, and we just told part of the story. You're you're here working, and catch us. Are them?
So I moved here, like I said, in '89. Went to work to go to school, but just going to school. I was so used to working
that
I said, "Look, I'm gonna finish school part time," and go find a job. And this new company had opened up in Gordonsville. It was a manufacturing plant, automotive manufacturing plant called Bentley Harris. Now, they eventually sold to Federal Mogul.
Oh, okay.
So I spent the majority of my career working in manufacturing. I still am, in a way. And so I quickly moved up the ladder there, became their quality manager, and then their corporate quality manager in charge of other sites across the country.
Well, sure, sure.
And then left Federal Mogul in 01 to take an opportunity to run my brother's company down in Gulfport, Mississippi.
Man, you're so back down south.
We moved back down south, which I didn't think I would do, but we did. And then Katrina hits in 05.
Yeah.
And pretty much wipes out the whole area. Sure. And there was nothing like being in that war zone and coming back to Cookeville and and seeing the two drastic different stages that these landscapes are in right now.
You know, we had the same situation with Oric down on the New Orleans there. Tells the same story.
I shared a warehouse with him.
Said they couldn't get after the hurricane. The people left. I mean, they lost their employees. They lost their business.
Same thing happened to us.
One of the reasons we located Oric here back about that time. Yeah.
And another coincidence, I shared a warehouse with Oric.
Wow.
In Long Beach, Mississippi. Yeah.
So there's all kinds of parallel interconnections.
All kinds of interconnections.
We're going to come back and talk about you today and then go on beyond. But George Hoffer with Pat Frank, Local Matters, and 6 degrees of separation. We'll be right back. Thank you. George Hofford back with Pat Frank. We just finished part one talking about where he's been. Now we're going to talk about where. Let's pick up there about you when you came to Cookeville, Tennessee. You were telling a little bit about that. Your wife, your child. Let's just go there and move and then to the present. Just talk a little bit, and then we'll really get going. Next segment.
Well, we moved, like I said, I moved here in 89, met my wife at Federal Mogul. She was an engineering manager.
Okay.
And I was the manufacturing manager at the time. So,
y'all met at Federal Mogul.
We met at Federal Mogul in Gordonsville. She came from Philadelphia.
She's from the Philadelphia area. You're not from around here.
No,
right?
Yeah. And we worked together. That's how we started our relationship, and we butted heads a lot. It's you would have never thought we'd end up together.
Opposites attract.
And but incredible woman. And
oh yeah. Oh,
she
good people, salt of the earth.
We
hope you're listening,
Mary.
No,
we so we got married in '99, and that's when we moved to
then we met
White Plains.
Met y'all you guys shortly.
Yeah. And I didn't meet you until 2008.
I moved here in 04. Yeah. So we were here a few years.
And we moved back away.
That's what it was. That's right.
In 2001.
Okay.
Then came back in 05 after Katrina.
But you had been here before.
I'd been here before, but
I got you.
We got back here in 05 and pretty much have been here ever since. Yep. We moved away for a year in 2014. I went and ran a plant.
That.
I ran a manufacturing plant in Ohio. But we never sold our home here.
I remember that. Sure. Thank goodness. Yeah.
And so we spent a year there and came back. But so my daughter's pretty much been raised here. Laura, she's 22 years old. And
graduate of tech.
Graduate of tech. She works for Life Church.
Wonderful.
Doing fantastic. And just an incredible human. And, you know, that's our job, right, to turn out better humans than we are.
Talk about Life Church just more. You and I share that, too. We grew up, I think you grew up Catholic. I grew up Baptist. And, you know, my mother would be turned over in a grave if I left the Baptist church. But talk about your faith and you and Mary and Life Church and how you got started.
Well, we got started at Life Church through my daughter. She was going after high school.
Okay. Yeah, very active youth program.
On Wednesday night, she kept saying, you have to come, you have to come. And I'm like, like you said, I'm Catholic. I mean,
I know.
Every Catholic in my family would disown me, right? That's how it works, right? So you just don't say anything.
No, it's great. We started
to go to Life Church because of her. And Pastor Bobby Davis, God bless him. He an incredible message every time he speaks. An
he's
incredible
message. It's amazing. He's a gift. He's ordained.
Yeah. I mean, and now we got Pastor Eddie.
Yeah, I love Eddie.
And Eddie is the same way. And I love listening to both. We've been at Life Church now for 8-9 years.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine being anywhere else because I see what the church does in people's lives.
I see the
in
diversity. The I see the
it's amazing.
Young people.
Oh, how we give. That church is so such a blessing in how it gives through the church to the people that need it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and then I'll look over and see you over there. Yeah.
But one thing Catholics have that Baptists didn't have either, well, they do now. I started going on a Saturday night one night on a long-range planning committee. They asked me, and I could go on Saturday night. I can go. It's not like I'm doing a commercial for Life Church, but I can go Sunday morning. So it's really a wide open deal, and we're very blessed. But that's where I saw you in church there.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some of your passions. I want you to talk about your thespian career.
Oh.
I've been to a number of plays, Glory and I, and you're world class, buddy.
I appreciate it.
I want your autograph before we leave. Talk about how you got involved.
I started acting in 1986 in New Orleans. I did it was dinner theater, and we actually got paid by if you were.
How did you get? Who got you to? Let's go and try out or do whatever you do.
That's a story in and of itself because it ties into. I just finished a run of Fiddler on the Roof where I played Tevye here in Cookeville at CPAC. Yeah.
So and you were even
my first play had something to do with Fiddler on the Roof.
How about
and
that?
So that was like I say, way back in 1985. I went to see one of my best friends in a show.
Yeah, sure.
And we were going to go out afterwards.
Yeah.
I'm early 20s, right?
Oh, yeah.
And we were going to go out afterwards and get some dinner and have a good time. And I'm watching him, and I'm sitting next to his director, and I don't realize I'm sitting next to his director. And his director is upset because someone just dropped out of one of the plays. Well, the play I came to see my friend in was Fiddler on the Roof.
So you had a natural there. That's providential, by the way.
So I know it. And so my buddy, Robert Den, says, hey, we lost a guy in the next show. My friend here, Pat, will do it. And I'm like, no, Pat won't do it. Pat's never been on stage and done anything. Well, they talked me into it. And
just started.
I got the bug. Theater is unlike anything else you'll ever do in life. Once you do it,
you're hooked.
You're hooked.
Yeah.
And it's just an amazing experience. And it's something that you never get out of your blood. So my first show was a show called Send Me No Flowers.
Yeah.
It was an old Rock Hudson, Tony Randall, Doris Day movie that they turned in, put it on stage. And after that, I came here to Cookeville, got involved in the theater.
Yeah, you've been involved since you've been here.
I have, thanks to my good friend and incredible actress, incredible director, Kim Frick-Welker. And Kathy Gilpatrick, both of those two ladies have really inspired me and helped me along. And I've probably done, I don't know, 15 shows.
Have you
16
really?
Shows.
Yeah.
Got a chance to do some movie stuff.
You've told me that.
And I just filmed a role for a movie in Atlanta last week.
Wow.
I act
as it's
my passion.
It's your passion.
That and golf. One I'm decent at, one I'm not.
No, you're decent at both. You know, you said that. I was thinking, you played a straight guy, a gay guy, an extrovert, an introvert. I've seen you, and my wife, we've gone, love those performances where we sit up there on the stage and it's very intimate. And so you
Backstage series at CPAC.
And we are so fortunate in a community our size. We have world-class arts, music, and crafts.
We really
do. And our theater is part of it.
Yeah, the theater community, there's so much talent.
Yeah, and it's growing, and it's just really exciting, exciting time. But I, I just watched you. You've had some great roles. I'm going, is that Pat Frank up there? And but it's a passion. It's just in your blood. And you said something in life, and this is for the young people out there. We always do these formal things, but usually it's I was sitting by somebody. The luck, or just sheer luck, or faith, fate. About you at the right place, the right time, and this guy next thing you know. So that's a great story there. Well, we're two-thirds of the way home. Pat George Hofford, Pat Frank, Local Matters, back in just a short time. George Hofford, Pat Frank, talking This Is His Life. And now we're getting into some good stuff, Pat, about a movie star. Well,
I'm not going to go that far.
No, a little close, but let's pick up on that again as far as the present and then in looking into the future about how did you get involved, go from local theater to big in movies for the last 2 or 3 years?
Well, a good friend of mine and someone you probably know who was a pastor at our church, Alec Lissick. Alec and Elizabeth Lissick. Wonderful people, wonderful family. Their children are both little superstars.
Really?
They have been in movies with Nicole Kidman.
Oh, my gosh.
They have been in movies with Anna Paquin. They've been in a series on the Peacock Network.
You just never know.
They're just incredible actors. And anyway, they gave me the name of their agent out of Atlanta. So I contacted her. I contacted her, and she said, you know, there is a need for older folks.
Yeah.
I'll be 61 in September.
Young guy.
Got a little gray, right?
Yeah. You got a little hair, though, still.
Yeah, I still have a little hair.
No, you got a lot of hairs, man.
And I contacted her, and so she hooked me up with a website called Actors Access. Mm-hmm. And it's a site you pay for annually, but that site lists all the auditions all over the world.
And of course,
literally all over the world.
Agents, they're looking at it's reciprocal.
Right. So, I think a lot of this happened during COVID, where, you know, it used to be you would go in somewhere for an audition and do one live. I think when COVID hit,
Everything got online,
recorded. Okay. And for an agent or a casting director, you can see a lot more people that way.
Oh, sure. And it's easy. It's quicker, faster, cheaper. It's quicker.
Sometimes it's just the look you're looking for.
Yeah, and
that person doesn't look right. Yeah. So I go on Actors Access probably every day and look for roles. So I found a role, a faith-based film called Dying Seeds in Atlanta. A young lady, very talented. Her name's Anna Stinson. She wrote and directed this to enter the Atlanta Film Festival. And so I go on and I send them, I've got copies of things I've been in.
Sure.
And so I send them my headshots and my reels from other movies or other things I've done. And they sort through it and they said, hey, we'd like you to audition for this. And I auditioned for it. They send me the lines they want me to read. And I've got a little setup at my house.
Oh, yeah. How about that?
My wife is my director, and she films me, and we send it in, and I got the role.
That's a couple of years ago, you'd been doing this.
I've been doing this for a couple of years.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's fairly new because you
told me. This is fairly new, yeah.
Okay. So you did that, and
well, I just did this last week. Now, I started my first television show that I did was a show on the Oxygen Network.
Sure.
It was called Killer Couples. I played a detective. And it was a recreation. So I got to wear a cowboy hat and be a big tough guy. But I've been doing this, and it's something good. You know, I'm getting close to, I hope, retiring at some point.
Yeah, but it's something that's fun. Yeah. It's a passion.
It's a passion, but something I can do in my retirement. They always need an old guy.
There's still room for us old guys. I'm a really old guy. Oh, man.
Yeah, but you get hit from the gold tees.
Yeah, it's horrible. That's a long story. But I got worse. For closer I got to the green, the worse I got. Now, looking in the – you started that. Let's look in the crystal ball. You've got – your daughter has finished school, and you've talked about that. Your wife, Mary, she's now with the – she's in
– she works for Sheriff's Department.
Yeah, just started in the last 6 months. Or,
no, she started – it's going on a year, George.
Has it been?
Yeah, it seems like that, though. Yeah. When you have the restaurant in the middle of that, it really throws our whole.
What'd you learn during the restaurant business?
We ran the grill at White Plains Golf Course and loved every second of it. Yeah. It was just working full time and then going and doing that. It was too hard on a 60-year-old body.
And then y'all both changed. She changed.
She
jobs.
Changed jobs. I've always worked for. In the last 5 years, I've worked for Chris Landers
out of
Monterey, who's an incredible guy.
Yeah.
Entrepreneur,
we got a lot
out
of
this world,
don't we? In the Upper Cumberland.
If you ever want to do an interview with somebody, get that gentleman on the line, Chris Landers. Right. He owns a professional racing team, KTM.
Oh my gosh!
He owns Landers Solutions there in Monterey.
Sure,
Land Mills Company that I work for.
I'll do that. That's great.
But it's something that I'd like to do. I'd like to golf and act when I want to.
That'd be pretty good. That'd be a pretty good gig.
The problem with acting is you audition 100 times.
You get one.
You only get one.
Maybe, yeah. But you mentioned it. It's like any business, small business. What small business people have to do.
This town's built on them.
Yeah, it is. 90% of our members of the chamber were small businesses that employed less than 15 people.
Yep.
There's only a few. And yet the perception is the chamber's big business. Well, not really. That's the secret of our success. But I've always heard. I've got an uncle who had an uncle passed away, successful in the restaurant business, and it was unbelievable. If you weren't there, people come to see you too. It's very personal.
It is.
Long hours,
it's hard on your body.
And it's a different market.
Yeah.
And we
enjoyed it. We learned.
Yeah.
Got to meet a lot of incredible people.
Yeah.
And become friends with a lot. But, you know, maybe somewhere down the line.
Yeah. Even a young man might not be able to do what you were trying to do.
It was tough. Good. I was working 16, 17 hours a day.
Anything else in the future you want to talk about? What you're doing? Where you going? What you and Mary are doing?
No, I mean, Mary, my wife, does alterations. From the house.
Excellent.
That's her. That's what her degree was in. She's a textile engineer, and
she's an engineer.
She's
been
sewing and doing alterations probably for over 20 years. So, if you need alterations, come see Mary Frank. And Laura's doing well. My son's here in town. I got my granddaughter's 2 years old. We just had her last night. Oh my goodness!
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, they run you ragged.
Well, they say why grandparents and grandchildren have so much in common? They've got a common enemy.
Children. That's right. But nothing like it though. Being a grandfather and little Ivy Quinn.
They're great.
My son, he's over at Crawdaddy's.
Yeah, good. And nice young man.
Thank you.
So you got a little while to talk about your golf game. We might be able to give a lesson out here.
No.
Hey, you're a good player. You're an athlete. You're a natural athlete, my friend. And
hey,
I've seen that.
I'll tell you what I would like to talk about, though, is people start listening come high school football season, because I do the play-by-play right here at Stone Cop.
Yeah, talk about that. Let's go ahead and – when do you start? How often? What do you do?
I think
do?
The first game's August 30th. And last year I did the play-by-play for Cookeville High School football and basketball. And both teams had incredible
years last year. Yeah.
Incredible years. My good partner, Amos Rogan, who was my play-by-play guy, they split us up this year. They want Amos is going to be doing Livingston, and I'm going to be doing the game of the week.
So you have a game of the week.
I'll be calling the game of the week every Friday night for high school football beginning August 30th. And right here for Stonecom, great place to work. I mean, Marcia, Larry, they're
Marcia.
Yep, wonderful to work with. And they've been good to me, letting me that's another passion I have is getting on the radio and calling play-by-play. And Robin over there.
Robin, let's get
that. I'm waving at Robin over on the other side of the glass. She runs the board for us, does an awesome job. And that, by the way, that job is so important to us, and you do a great job. But so I love doing the games and look forward to it. It's coming up. Well, football season's around the corner, Georgia.
Stonecom is high school football.
Absolutely.
You do several, like you said, there are several games you
cover. We cover, we cover 3-4 games a week.
Yeah. You know, a little nostalgia. You're having the state high school football championships, and Tech, we're finally, it's about money and timing. We're building that new stadium now.
I'll tell you what.
And I hope we can compete for that again. That's one of the best things that ever happened to us. Tech,
we should all thank you because you got that thing coming here.
Well, that was not the plug, but
But look, remember when you and I, go back to the west side of Cookeville, for instance.
Yeah.
That place was dead. There was nothing happening on the west side. And we always said, man, wouldn't it be nice if something would happen? And now the west side's booming with the restaurants.
We've got an entertainment district, and I give the Main Street, our city, county, a lot of players, but we've got a heck of a – we have world-class arts, music, crafts, and now we are utilizing that. We're down there, and this football is going to be – give Watson Brown – I'm going to start naming names, but there were people who really helped us. But Watson Brown told us after the first year that something like he recruited 18 players who had played in this first high school football here because –
he was at Vanderbilt?
No, when he was –
When he was at Tech.
Coach.
Okay.
And the story is, and you know, being a former quarterback, most of the players that come to the state championships aren't going to play Division I ball, but they're excellent. So he got 18 players.
That's incredible.
It was one of the best recruiting tools that we had.
Sure.
Enrollment went way up. And you think about it, for a few days, like Omaha, I'm talking way too much again. Omaha, Nebraska, why would you go to Omaha except – the College Baseball World Series. We had, for a period of a good two or three weeks, we were the spotlight statewide in the capital of high school football.
Absolutely.
And I hope we can get it back again.
Yeah.
We should be able to. We're perfectly located. We treat them, everybody great. But you can tell I wish I had some talent. I'm a sports nut. But I don't have skills.
This is like we're talking after playing golf.
Yeah, it's same
sitting
thing.
Around on the deck.
I think we'll close with that. George Alford with my good friend Pat Frank. Thank you for listening.